Welcome to Brand New Perspectives. My name is Carlson, and I'm happy to be talking to you guys. Of course, the reason why I set up this podcast is because I want you to be able to have practical tips, insights that actually you can use to grow your business, your brand, some ideas as well as business strategies. A lot of people that I mentor, they usually have a lot of the same questions on how could they do things. And sometimes the answers are straightforward, and sometimes it's a little bit more tricky. So in times like this, I thought it'd be great to actually share some of this insights that I have, just so that you guys can actually apply to your business, or whether it's online business or offline business. I think it's great that you guys can actually have something that you can use that will generate you more revenue. So there have been a lot of people, my friends recently, who are insurance agents. And usually when you hear this term insurance agent, you don't really have a very good impression of them, right? Especially when people hear like, oh, hey, how have you been? You know, I'm trying to catch up with you, and then maybe share a little bit of financial planning for your future, things like that. And it just kind of feels very insincere, since possibly you haven't been in contact with this person for a long time. So when this person comes back to you and is like, oh, maybe you can talk to me about your financial situation right now, and I could help you in some sense, and so on and so forth, you get a little bit edgy. It gets a little bit hard to actually open up to them and say, you know, sure, I might need some help, or sure, I'm looking to invest, or things like that. We usually look at these people as trying to earn their commission. And I have a lot of friends. I don't know why I have a lot of friends who are insurance agents, and they are really nice people, actually. And I think maybe some things like that, I can try to cover it, so that if they are listening, or rather if you guys are listening and you're my friends, then these are some tips for you, right? So at the very beginning, it's always about working on the name, you know, things like that. What's a good brand name to work with? What's a good name to work with in the first place? To that, I say it kind of weighs what your first goal is, right? Impressions matter, yes. So names matter. If you're talking about Tan Akao, I mean, that's not actually a typical Chinese name. That's a very common placeholder name in Singapore. So we don't actually have anyone. Akao means dog, I think. So that's in Hokkien. So we do have, so imagine if someone calls himself, you know, this is Tan Akao's insurance. What's the first impression you get? You don't really trust the person, right? And the first thing you get is something that's very fishy. Like, what's this? This doesn't sound convincing. This doesn't sound anything remotely convincing. You see, the reason why we are able to believe, we have this internal belief system where we actually can make a judgment almost immediately. So that's actually called snap judgment, right? So when you look at someone, you know, or you think you know whether this person is believable or not. So same goes for brand names. If, say, a brand name is called Tan Akao Insurance, you probably will not buy from this person for a very shallow reason. It's just because of the name itself. You wouldn't buy it because you don't trust it. Brand names work because it's like, just look at the insurance companies out there, the big ones, right? You have AXA, right? It's an acronym. And then you have Manulife, you have Prudential. These words actually have a meaning to it. So they're combining words that will help you in terms of brand name, right? Life. I'm not sure if it's Manulife or Manulife. So correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I pronounce it is Manulife. So yeah, these names all they have is their names, and you're like, okay, that's something, because you're interested in, and it gives you an idea of what the business is about. So if you're talking about, sure, but my name has it's my name and the insurance behind, I mean, sure, yes, that works for to a certain extent, but you need to have something more than just your name. You need something that's able to substantiate your brand itself. Just remember, brand is not about name, just names or logos. Your brand, okay, this is what I usually tell people. Your brand, whether it's personal or business, is what people talk about you when you're not in the room. Does it make sense? Right, because when people talk about things when you're not in the room, that's what they think of who you are. That's your, essentially, that is your brand essence. It's the way people look at you, the way people think about you, the way you're presenting yourself to these individuals. That's how people think about you, and that's in essence, essentially, that's your brand. So when you're talking about things like, oh, I may need a logo, I need, yes, logo works as an identifier. That's what logos are good for. You use it to recognize the brand in a split second. And under the logos, there's brand colors and everything else. So brand has a huge umbrella. What we can do here is to try and find out what's core and essential to our brand first. So the way you can do things in naming processes is very, it's not straightforward, but it can be quite simple. Let me share with you how. You start by describing the name, or describe the thing that you're naming. Is it a company, or is it an offering that you have, a service, a product? What do you want to be known for? You need to get a clear idea of what your name needs to represent or communicate. So the first thing that you need to really do is to actually map out your competition, understand where your brand is going to exist, right? In your instance, if let's say you're an insurance agent or a financial consultant, it's within that class of services that people are looking for. So, for example, you need to be able to know what your vision of it, what you want is. So it's all kind of part of the brand framework. I actually have this in my brand building kit. This is my build your brand framework that can actually help you in terms of trying to build a brand, whether it's a startup or a rebranding or anything like that. This brand building kit can actually help you build a framework for your brand. So back to that itself, there are ways, different ways to actually name a company. For example, founders' names. Such things can be tricky, actually, because when you use your name, local names in Singapore are not very, how do I put it? It's not very, it doesn't sound very nice in brands. That's why when you have a Tan Akau insurance, it doesn't sound very convincing. Other names, you know, in other countries, they have very nice surnames, you know, like Chanel or Lagerfeld, names like that. It's their name, and it's also their brand. However, there's a downside naming your brand after yourself, which means if you are too attached to your brand, if there's any scandal, or I'm not saying that my friends will have scandals or anything like that, but or you guys for that matter, if you have or if anything breaks out, you know, that people are questioning, your brand, personal brand, is at risk as well as the brand that you have. It's always better to not name your brand after yourself. For example, there's Lance Armstrong, and his foundation, Live Strong, kind of carries a name of his. So it's not directly a name per se, but part of it has his name attached to it. And the Live Strong Foundation is a non-profit organization today, But it started with him. If the founder's personal brand is stronger than the brand that they're building, it could have a backlash in terms of like, it might just affect the way the brand is supposed to be perceived. You may want to start generating names, write them down, keep them short, easy to say in any language, and then print out a list of names. Gather, if you have a team, gather a team. If you don't have a team, you could ask around, or you could just, you know, pick out your favorite names, veto the bad ones. Once this process is done, you should have culled quite a few weak names. And just leave around 5 of your favorite names. If you have less, it's fine. It doesn't matter. You just need to have like some strong names. Do a check on your names once you have done that. Make sure domains are available, social media names are available, because these are actually what is going to propagate you out there into the internet. Without your proper domain, without anything. So if someone actually has a name that you have come up with and it's very strong and similar to the one that you've come up with, you're going to have a huge problem, because how are people going to differentiate between that person and you, right? So that's very important. And then keep editing your list until you have like 2 left, and then, you know, just select one, the best one that you think can actually work or help. Do a test run first when talking to your friends, talking to your families, try and ask them and see what they think. Usually friends and families, I think they're quite supportive. They're like, oh, it sounds good. But yeah, try to ask someone who can give you some real honest feedback. Because sometimes what you don't realize is you can actually create a name that could be bad sounding in some other languages or dialect. Okay, so names itself, also you have different kinds. So there are descriptive names, there are suggestive names, there are abstract names, and there are legacy names. So legacy is the one which I covered just now. It's like founder's names. And you have those extract kind of names, so, you know, like have a potential to have a new meaning. Descriptive names, so like Snapchat describes what the company does. It's a very quick way to chat with your friends using video. So Snapchat, PayPal, PlayStation, it's very direct. It kind of gives you the idea of what the product or the brand is. Suggestive names, it has an association of what it does, but it's not a direct description. For example, Apple came from Newton having discovered gravity. You know, it's discovering new products. So it's kind of suggestive. It doesn't show you exactly what the product or the brand is, but it gives you an idea of how they actually derive. And they're kind of like pulling the essence of that out and breathing it into the brand of Apple itself. Those are the kinds of names that you can come up with. There are also names that you can come up with, 2 words that you put together, you know, like, say, for example, pre-word in front and an word behind of 2 different words, and you just co-join them together. So yeah, you know, you have things like that that you can actually use to create your own brand name. So that's the start. I hope this session actually helps you. This is just a beginning, my first ever podcast. I hope it can actually help you in terms of like trying to get to what you need in terms of building your brand. If you have anything that you want me to cover, I'll be looking forward to hearing from you guys. So thank you for spending your time with me on listening to this. I know it's a slight little bit long, but your attention means the world to me. I'll see you in the next episode. Take care, guys. Bye.